ATC is go.
Agapus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, 14th of October. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm excited. The weekend's in front of us, and the Huskers play Purdue tomorrow night.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And, folks, the reason I say, oh, dear, is because my older son is a professor of astrophysics and planetary sciences at Purdue, and he and his wife, who is the same thing, they go to every Purdue game there is.
Well, and this game is at Purdue, so we're on the road, the Huskers are, and it's not going to be an easy game for the Huskers. Purdue is pretty good this year. The Huskers are picking up steam, but, you know, we got a long ways to go before we're labeled as pretty good. I can tell you this about the game tomorrow night. If Nebraska makes mistakes, Nebraska loses, period. You know, because Purdue is good, and you can't make mistakes against a team that's as well-seasoned and as well-coached as Purdue is and expect to get out of there with a win.
Well, we shall see. I mean, I won't watch it. I cannot stomach football, but, you know, I'll hear about it. I'll be getting all the messages while it's going on and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the game. I mean, you know, Nebraska's on a two-game winning streak right now. We haven't had that in a long time. And, you know, things are starting to take shape for us. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a tough game for Nebraska, and we're hoping for the best. But, you know, Purdue's a good team. They're well-coached. They've got some very well-seasoned players, including a quarterback. They've got a great quarterback. So, you know, it's going to be a fun game to watch. And here in Nebraska, we love good football. You know, and, well, and if we lose but play well, that's fine.
Well, I don't know what will happen. I mean, I'm going to hear all about it from my son and my daughter-in-law, but I have about as much interest in the football as, how about zero?
Yeah, but I love it, and Husker fan through and through, always have been. You can't grow up here and not be a Husker fan, so, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and besides, it's the weekend. We got you know, weekend stuff we can do. And I'm looking forward having a weekend.
Yeah, being off the computer.
Yeah.
After putting up the podcast, that's it.
That's the end of it for you.
Yes, I'm ready to go for Tuesday. Got part two of my article dealing with the politicalization of Hurricane Ian. And notes gathered for our possible joint article, and tomorrow is free day.
Well, and next Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about a situation that's coming up in this country that, folks, I guarantee you, it's going to light your hair on fire. Okay,
oh, yeah,
this liberal agenda has gone way too far. And they're actually trying to protect and normalize a situation, pedophilia, that is absolutely repugnant and abhorrent.
Let's put it this way, guys. When Craig read me the article, because we always read our articles to each other, you know, we get input from each other. And this thing, he can tell you, I was just fuming. Absolutely fuming at these people. They are destroying our country, or they're trying to at least destroy everything moral and decent in this country.
Diane will be publishing her op-ed at her blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. I'll be publishing my commentary and at thenationalpatriot.com, and both of those get published on Monday, and then we'll talk about them on the show on Tuesday. Right. You do not want to miss either one of those pieces.
Yep. So, where should we start here tonight?
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on this week, and it's kind of hard to narrow it down, but we've done that, and we're going to start with the Supreme Court, and they have declined to get involved in the Mar-a-Lago case with President Trump.
Yeah, and I look at that as sort of a double-edged sword in a way, because I understand them not wanting to get involved. This way they wouldn't be legislating from the bench. However, with everything that has been done to President Trump, all the lies told about him, and the way they went into Mar-a-Lago, and, you know, like, there was some criminal activity, serious criminal activity going on there. He wasn't even present. His lawyers couldn't be there. I was hoping the Supreme Court would take it on just on those grounds, that the lawyers were not allowed to be present.
Well,
but they sort of turned their back.
Yeah, but that's not what the whole case was about, going to the Supreme Court. You know, the Supreme Court was, I mean, Trump had asked the Supreme Court to allow, what is it, the special master? Is that what they call
it? The special master, what Trump... what they call it was a Hail Mary pass that Trump's legal team put out to try to have the Supreme Court intervene in the case involving the FBI's August 8th raid on Mar-a-Lago. But the court said no, they're not going to step in, that they have to wait until the special master and the Department of Justice completes their report. Really? Their report is that expensive? We already know what their report is going to say.
Well, but doesn't...
Trump is a bad man.
Doesn't this decision not to get involved, doesn't this prevent the special master from doing that job? And it leaves it up to the DOJ, which hates Trump.
Right, but I think somewhere in one of the appellate courts, that was over... ruled, it was sent back to the judge, the Florida, I forget what was her name.
Yeah, but another court overrode that and said the special master doesn't get to be involved, and so it looks like it's only going to be the DOJ that's looking through all that stuff, and there's stuff in there that's attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, but the Justice Department has already said it's reviewed the documents, okay? And they were saying, you know, that makes the special master moot. However, Judge Aileen Cannon granted the motion and issued an injunction restricting the DOJ to have certain access to certain files. This is kind of like a really convoluted case. They say one court says one thing, another court says another thing, and the Supreme Court just wants to stay out of it.
Yeah, and like you said, I can kind of understand them wanting to stay out of it, at least at this point, but it's hard to figure out what exactly is going on.
Right. Well, I like the way that this was summed up. I'm not sure by who, but the raid on Mar-a-Lago remains a grossly unconstitutional search, but our institutions are corrupt and beholden to the Democrat Party orders. It was also an excellent refresher for those in this field of law to remind everyone that first, and this is key, folks, the president has the ultimate declassification authority. Two, the government overclassifies everything, and especially, you know, when need be, and it meets their agenda. And three, the FBI told the Trump legal team to keep all the documents on the property in a June letter before they went in and strong-armed it. So why the Supreme Court isn't involved, you know, I'm disappointed that Clarence Thomas didn't at least put a dissenting vote in here.
Yeah, I mean, there was no dissent. There was no anything, really, because they didn't hear the case. I mean, they just basically said, we're not going to hear this. And what the case was to reinstate Judge Cannon's order that a special master review the classified documents.
Right.
Okay, so initially, Judge Eileen Cannon issued a ruling that a special master was to review the classified documents. Then another court said, no, we're not going to have a special master. Trump went to the U.S. Supreme Court and said, please reinstate the original ruling. And the Supreme Court said, we don't want to get involved.
But from what I understand, that special master is in the process of researching and looking into all the documents. So what's the real answer here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody seems to know. Is this man, and this was a man picked by Trump's lawyers, is he going to review all the documents? And then, you know, on the other hand, the Supreme Court says they're not going to look at it until the DOJ issues their report. Well, how could the DOJ issue their report if the special master hasn't looked at any and everything? I mean, this is just ridiculous.
It's convoluted. It's hard to follow. But as I understand it, and I might be wrong, but as I understand it, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals struck down Judge Cannon's order.
Right.
Okay, they struck it down, which means no special master. So the special master, I guess, had already started, and then the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said, nope, you can't do that. And the Supreme Court won't get involved. So now, as I understand it, it's just the DOJ going through this, and what they're going through includes documents of attorney-client privilege, which they shouldn't be allowed to do.
Well, the one thing they were really looking for was nuclear secrets, but it has come out. There were no nuclear secrets found.
They got Melania's shoe size because they raided her shoe closet.
Are you kidding? But half of them dressed up in her clothes, probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. But no nuclear secrets. There weren't any. Of course, that was just a vicious rumor. But, you know, the liberals and the mainstream media, they still insist there was nuclear secrets kept in there.
There were none.
There weren't any. You know, this thing is just ridiculous. And then on top of all this, as a distraction, the January 6th committee subpoenaed President Trump a couple of days ago.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you know, Trump first came out and said, hey, I look forward to it. And then he, earlier today or late yesterday, he issued a scathing letter about it, as he should. That'll never happen, folks. Don't hold your breath waiting for Trump to testify in front of this goofy-ass January 6th committee. It's not going to happen.
Well, I think what they actually did was hand Trump the nomination if he wants it, because there was never a more... I watched part of it. I lowered myself to watch part of it, only because I want to say they really are a vindictive, vile, hateful bunch of miscreants and thugs.
I couldn't and agree with you more.
To cover their own butts, especially that Liz Cheney.
Ugh.
She really needs to be in a padded room.
You brought up Liz Cheney. Can I just mention something here real quick?
Sure.
The Tulsi Gabbard for Liz Cheney trade was the best deal the Republicans have ever made.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party. Liz Cheney is an idiot. I mean, even though Tulsi Gabbard has not declared whether she's a Republican or an independent or what political party she's affiliated with, the trade, the deal that was made, we got Gabbard for Liz Cheney. That's the best deal on earth.
Yeah. Yep. A friend of mine just asked me to put this little plug in. Herschel Walker is going to be taking the stage very soon. And just anybody who wants to tune in and listen to him, please do. You can probably find it online.
Herschel Walker's doing great down there in Florida.
Yes.
He has really closed that gap with Warnock down
yes.
there. And Warnock's his own worst enemy, I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They are all their own worst enemies.
Yeah, but
if people vote on the issues instead of on party indoctrination, the Republicans are going to clean up.
Well, yeah, and Warnock, I mean, the more that comes out about him, I mean, the abuse stuff against his wife, you know, him against mm-hmm. his wife, the fact that he tried to run her over with his car, the fact that apparently there was abuse and sexual abuse going on at a church camp that is run by Warnock, and he was trying to block the investigation into that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the more of this stuff that comes out about Warnock, the worse he looks. And Herschel Walker, of course, they're trying to smear him with that abortion thing. You know, he paid for a girlfriend's abortion, you know, how many years ago?
And yeah, decades. Yeah.
Herschel denies it. He said never happened, you know. And I'll tell you, between Herschel Walker and these liberals, I'll believe Herschel Walker 12 days out of 7.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I mean, this election season, this particular election has gotten so out of hand, so dirty, because the Republicans are trying to stay on the issues.
Right.
And all the Democrats are trying to do is smear the Republicans, not on the issues, but on character, on this and that and whatever.
Well,
and here it is, they have no morals to begin with, so what are they talking about anybody else?
Yeah, they can't claim any moral high ground. I mean, that's
no.
for certain. But,
no,
you know, you're right. They're going after character assassination because these liberals have no platform to run on. They have no accomplishments. They haven't done anything to make anybody's life any better, period.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing at all. And I mean, when I saw yesterday, we're getting a little off topic here, guys.
Well, not really.
I saw yesterday that Biden was touting his 8.2, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, the inflation
that
rate.
It didn't go up as high as people thought. Hello, it still went up.
Well, and that's a key factor coming up in this election in November. We're only a few weeks away. And as it stands right now, at least according to a Clinton pollster, the Republicans are closing in on what they call the red wave.
Yeah, and this is the man who said this, he's a Fox News contributor. His name is Mark Penn, and he's a former top advisor to the Clintons.
Yeah, and so he's reading the writing on the wall, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he sure is. This hopefully, and if all these polls are right, and we can't really put a lot of credence in some of these polls, but if even half these polls are right, the Democrats are done in the House and the Senate.
Well, it's looking that way. Now, I saw a thing from Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, the other day, and he says he expects after the November 8th election, the Republicans to have a 3-5 vote majority in the Senate.
Yeah, that's, you know, the House controls the purse strings. But the Senate is just as important in its own right, and in foreign affairs and treaties and things like that, the Senate is more important. But the purse strings are controlled in the House. We take back the House and we take back the Senate. We've got everything covered. That means that Biden and Harris are basically politically impotent, except he will still hold the power of the veto. But if our leads are strong enough in the House and strong enough in the Senate, we can negate even his vetoes.
Well, now, see, I don't think we're going to have anywhere near enough to override a veto in the Senate. However, here's the way I see this happening. If Republican leadership in the Senate, should we get the majority, can grow a set and stand firm. Because let's say there's a bill that comes through, let's call it a spending bill, okay? And they send it over to Biden's desk, and Biden says, no, I'm going to veto this because there's not enough pork in it, there's not enough green energy crap in it, so on and so forth. If the Republican majority in the Senate has a set, they'll say, well, this is all you're going to get. So you're either going to sign this or we're going to shut down the government.
Yeah. You know, and it's time the government does get shut down. Maybe it would scare some of these elected officials to maybe start doing the right thing instead of what they're told to do.
Right.
And I think if we do take back the House and the Senate, I think people like Pelosi, they'll resign.
Yeah, I can't see Pelosi moving forward in the House if she's not the majority leader in the House. And I think, look, I think even if, and I think it's a huge if, because I see a red wave coming at least in the House.
So do I.
But if Pelosi, if the liberals maintain control of the House, I think they jettison Pelosi as the speaker anyway.
Oh, I think they are too. And they're going to put in, oh God, who's that guy that lost to her in the last go round? I just can't remember his name offhand. But he's still odds on to replace her. But at this point, I think just about anybody would be better than her. But there's also, AOC is not so sure to win her seat.
You know, she got heckled pretty good a couple of days ago. She was at a campaign appearance, and a couple of people heckled her on her support for the war in Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a chance we can get rid of her. And if we can get rid of the other members of the squad, maybe some of the Democrats will stop being so afraid of these people.
You know, you look up and down this country from coast to coast and north to south, and what the liberal agenda is not what people in this country are concerned about. You know, at the breakfast table, at the water cooler, at work, wherever people gather and talk about such things, it's not green energy that's at the top of their list. It's not abortion that's at the top of their list. It's the economy, stupid.
Exactly. It's the economy. You know, the thing I don't get about abortion and these women that are coming on, like Val Demings, who's running against Marco Rubio. Here it is. She's a ex-police captain or I don't know if it was sheriff or captain, but one of those, and in Orlando. And here it is. This woman is on there supporting the defund the police. She had a reprimand because she left her service revolver in a duffel bag on the floor of a patrol car that got robbed. And you can find that online, guys. I am not making that up. And she's saying, well, Marco Rubio supports no abortion, and DeSantis, no abortion under any conditions.
That's a lie.
She never even bothered to read the bill, the heartbeat law that was passed in Florida, which, you know, everybody knows what the heartbeat law is, but it also had in it the exemptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. But these Democrats lie. They lie about everything.
Yeah, she knows the truth. It's not like she didn't read it or she doesn't know it. She knows the truth. But the problem with these liberals is they can't tell the truth because it goes against their agenda. You know, the more they talk, the more they make their positions known, the worse it gets for them.
Exactly. And also the reason they can talk like this is because the DNC is funneling mega millions into these candidates. And the people are tired of hearing about abortion. They're tired of hearing about transgenderism, and you can be a jar of mayonnaise if you want. That's your classification, your favorite one. I mean, the American public is tired of this. They want to hear about the economy. They want to hear about gas prices. Why are prices every week you go to the grocery store and the things you bought the week before is now almost double? I mean, this is what people want to hear. But these candidates, they're trying to make it that every woman in this country is only focused on abortion.
Right. And it's not true.
And it's not true.
You know, now, can I just say something about the whole jar of mayonnaise thing?
Yes.
It is one of the 167 genders recognized by the liberals.
By the way, are you Hellman's or Kraft mayonnaise?
Well, you know, what I was going to say is, you know, if you want to be a jar of mayonnaise, you can be a jar of mayonnaise. But if you're a little on the kinky side, you can be Miracle Whip.
I knew that was coming. Why did I know that was coming?
I'm just saying, you know, it's open to anybody, right?
Right.
You know, but the bottom line here is that the more the liberals talk, the better the Republicans look. And with this election coming up in roughly 3.5 weeks, you know, the Republicans, mm-hmm. even in the polls that you wouldn't think would show Republican gains, they are making specific and strong gains. And the experts in the field are looking at this and going, yep, there's a red wave coming.
Well, you know what's funny? And this could be one of the key things. In Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz has now overtaken Fetterman.
Well, and again, that's a prime example. You let Fetterman talk, and it gets worse and worse for him. You know, yeah. I mean, he did an interview, I think it was on CBS a couple of nights ago, 3-4 nights ago. And in that interview, he had to have a computer set up. And when the reporter would ask him questions, it was like the Dragon software. It would print mm-hmm. out the questions because if audibly, he can't understand. He can hear you, but his brain doesn't process what's being said. He has to read it.
Well,
we got to
be fair there. The man did have a massive stroke a few months ago.
Right.
And he felt he was recovered enough to run. But him on the campaign trail, he's showing he's not well enough to serve.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at. The stroke caused brain damage, and right. he's not recovered from that. And to be asked a question, it has to be printed out in front of him on a computer screen because he can't understand the words. He can't contemplate the words that are being asked right. of him, even simple questions.
He should not be running. Let's put it that way. We already have someone with dementia running this country. Do we need the Senate that way, too?
Well, and it's not just John Fetterman's mental acuity that's the problem. It's also his stand on the issues. The guy is a flaming liberal when it comes to these issues. He's for abortion right up to the moment of birth, you know.
Hey, the favorite one in Georgia, you know, who Stacey Abrams, according to her, can abort a year after birth.
I know. I mean, this is what I'm saying. You let these liberals talk about their stand on the position, it gets worse and worse for them, and the red wave grows bigger and bigger and bigger. But folks, we've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we've got to take our bottom of the hour break, get a couple of station IDs in. But we've got more stuff to talk about, important stuff to talk about before the end of this show. Really important stuff going on in New Zealand. We'll get you all up to speed on that coming up here in a few minutes. Stand by. There's more Right Side Patriots after that.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show. And if you miss any part of it, we know you don't want to, but if you do, all you have to do is go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and become an official pod person.
Yep. And we're gaining in numbers with our pod people every day.
You don't have to sign up. You don't have to give us any personal information. You don't have to give us even an email address. Just hit the button. All of our shows are right there waiting for you.
Right.
Gotta love that. All right. So next up on the hit parade is something that I find utterly disgusting, and I know you do too, Diane. This whole situation with the sentencing of Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland school shooter down there in Florida, has a lot of people pretty well pissed off, including your governor, Ron DeSantis.
Oh, he's absolutely furious. I mean, he basically came out and issued a statement, and I'm paraphrasing here, folks, that if anyone deserved the death penalty, it was this guy. And to that, I say, I know the school. My son did many county math competitions at Parkland. I know some of the parents who were there who, you know, this, my son was years before the shooting, but you get to know people. And this hits a little too close to home. And when the verdict was reached, I put up as politically nice as I could meme. And I said, justice was not served. May the lone, but we have found out now it's three. So I'll say, may the three bleeding heart liberal jurors who voted against the death penalty for Nicholas Cruz, the murderer of 17 innocent children at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, rot in hell forever. And to that, I want to say now, what those jurors did, those three jurors, and it was one that basically from day one, he was adamant that he was not going to vote for the death penalty, and two others joined him, I guess, with a little bullying to such a degree that the other jurors, some of them have filed complaints with the attorney general here in Florida. We're going to have to see how that plays out. But the thing is about this case, what they have done now, this is a young guy. He's in his 20s. Let's say he makes it through jail till he's 70-something, whatever. How many millions of dollars do we have to throw away keeping this piece of human garbage alive? This kid was known that there was something wrong with him from the time he was 3 years old. His family knew it. The schools knew it when he entered school. And nobody did anything about it. He was a walking time bomb, and they all knew it.
Well,
and that's because everybody's afraid to say some people with mental illness need to be locked up for the public's safety. And this kid was a perfect example of that. And because they did nothing, 17 children are dead, 17 families are destroyed. And this guy gets to live. You know, the jail cells nowadays, folks, they have computers and TVs. This, you know, he's going to be living three squares a day and exercise. And no, this is a verdict from hell.
You know, let's not forget that the police were called to Nicholas Cruz's home on 30 some odd occasions before the shooting. They knew.
Everybody knew that this kid belonged in a psychiatric hospital. But the bleeding heart liberal aspects of the government where it involves mental illness, it just wasn't allowed. So this is what you have.
You know, the
17 dead children, 17 families devastated and destroyed, and this piece of garbage gets to live his life.
I know.
Yes, he's in jail, but jail isn't what you think it is anymore, folks.
You know, the situation with this thing is horrendous. I mean,
yes.
You know, the families down there, the families of the victims are royally pissed. Governor DeSantis is royally pissed. A lot of people around the country are royally pissed. You know, and the situation is, this guy, this Nicholas Cruz, he doesn't deserve to live. After what he did, the pre-planning that went into that, the malice of forethought that went into that, you know, and DeSantis is 100% right. If ever there was a case that is perfect for the death penalty, it's this one. You know, the idea of keeping this guy alive forever in prison is abhorrent to me. I just don't understand it.
It's the taxpayers that have to pay for this. But worse, at the I watched the verdict yesterday, and I saw those parents, and there was one parent, it was his daughter that was killed, and he said for the first time during the trial they saw a certain video that had not been made public up until this point, or nobody really knew about it. Not only did he kill their children, but he went back and riddled their bodies with bullets.
Yeah.
Just overkilled them and basically mutilating their children. And he's going to be allowed to live?
Hopefully that situation will rectify itself in prison.
Yeah. Next to child molesters, child killers usually don't, you know, fare very well.
I'd tell you to ask Jeffrey Dahmer how that works out, but you can't anymore.
No, you can't.
Hopefully the situation will rectify itself. There's no other way to go around it. The judge
There is something a little different here, Craig. On November 1st, the judge is going to issue the final sentence. Now, I don't know the intricacies of Florida law if she could overturn the jury verdict.
No, she cannot. I looked it up.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, she cannot do it. To get a death sentence, it requires, Florida law requires, and that's the key word, requires a unanimous decision in favor of the death penalty. They did
that
not get
that. I knew, but I thought under mitigating circumstances, especially with now the thing of bullying of jurors out there, could that be possible grounds for overturning this?
Well, according to the prosecuting attorneys, they're the ones that passed along this information to the sheriff's department down there and the attorney general. They say they're not looking to overturn the sentence, but they want the case investigated because if there was intimidation coming from inside the jury room, that needs to be dealt with on its own.
That could overthrow the whole case. Meaning he would be tried again, and I don't think another jury would find him, you know, a jail sentence, let's put it that way.
I think the only discretion the judge has now is whether it's life without the possibility of parole life with the possibility of parole. So
if the original sentence that they handed down was life with no possibility of parole, can she overturn that? I don't know. What is he? You want that person ever walking the streets?
Oh, of course not. But I mean, I think the judge has the ability. I'm not saying she will. I'm saying the judge has the ability to say, okay, it's life, but we're going to give you a chance at parole like in 50 years. But I don't think she's going to do that. I think it's going to be life, period.
That's what I think it's going to be, too. But I, you know, as a Florida resident, my taxpayer monies are going to be going to keep this piece of garbage alive.
Yeah, and that's...
I don't want my money used for that.
No, I can understand that. Now, dealing with an entirely different school shooting that happened, the Alex Jones trial came to an end. Now, for those who don't know who Alex Jones is, he's a conspiracy theorist with a radio show and a podcast.
Right.
Okay, and for years after the Sandy Hook shooting, he has claimed, he has sworn up and down, that nobody was killed at Sandy Hook. It was all a government deal. Those kids are all alive, and their families are lying when they say that their children were killed at Sandy Hook. Well, you know, Diane, you and I, back when Sandy Hook happened and all these conspiracy theories started out, we said, come on, people, you know, you got to get a checkup from the neck up because those kids are gone and those families are legitimately grieving the loss of their kids. And then when Alex Jones came out and started talking about it, you and I specifically on this show in one of our conversations said Jones needs to be careful of what he's doing and what he's saying here because it could come back to bite him in the ass.
Yes, we did. And his show is InfoWars. It's pretty well known. And he used that show to actually claim that the massacre was a false flag operation staged by people who wanted to ban the sale of firearms in the U.S. And he claimed that all the footage was carried out by crisis actors.
Now, we've all seen that crap on social media for years. And, you know, I mean, you got to understand how Photoshop works, folks. You know, they show one person in this crisis, the same person in another crisis. Well, Photoshop can do that. You know, Sandy Hook happened at Sandy Hook. That's just a fact.
Here's an interesting little tidbit. In this lawsuit, parents, whatever, they accused Jones and InfoWars parent company, which is called Free Speech Systems, of actually using the mass killing to build his audience and make millions of dollars, which he did. In fact, experts testify that Jones's audience swelled, it grew, as did his revenue from all his product sales when he made Sandy Hook the key topic on his show. So what he was doing was profiteering over the on the death of children.
Right. And the parents got together and they put up a lawsuit against Jones and the parent company of InfoWars, claiming defamation, which I think it was actually worse than defamation, what he was doing. I mean, can you imagine these parents having to relive that moment over and over and over again and being told by this moron that their kids were still alive and the parents were liars? I mean, come on. So the jury, I mean, this trial went on for quite a while, and a lot of evidence was put up, and the jury in the trial found with the parents, and the verdict came down as finding Alex Jones and the parent company $965 million.
And they deserve every penny of it. But what was very strange, I don't know if you know his reaction, but after the trial had concluded, and he was not in court when the heavy fine was announced, he appeared on his own InfoWars show to criticize the proceedings. And he said it was all made up, hilarious. And then he said, so this is what a show trial looks like. I mean, this is the left completely out of control. Really, Alex? This was not a left-right issue. This was an issue about you lying, profiting off the death of children, and passing along lies. You made those parents for these years, until this has reached fruition, these years you made their lives a living hell.
Yeah, I think this couldn't have happened to a better guy.
For him. There should be a jail sentence for him for defamation, for slander, and any other thing they can throw out of it. Alex Jones is a piece of garbage.
You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and we do have freedom of speech in this country. Right. And I'm sure that over the next several weeks and months and years, Alex Jones is going to go on and on and on about he wasn't allowed to exercise his free speech. Well, you know, here's the way I look at it. Yes, you're entitled to your opinion. Yes, you can express your opinion. But when you do what he did to those parents and profiteered off the dead bodies of those children, that is crossing a line that goes well beyond his constitutional right to be a moron.
Well, yes, it does. But what's sad is that some of the family members, meaning the parents, they are still getting death threats from people that say Jones is right.
It's sick. It's sickening.
It is sick. You know? This is what we've become, folks. This has got to change. We got 3.5 weeks to change it.
You know, the problem is,
better do the right thing.
The problem for Jones is he couldn't come up with one shred of evidence that what he was saying was true.
Right.
Didn't come up with one shred of evidence.
Nothing.
Yeah, and he never couched it as, in my opinion. He said, this is a fact. These children weren't killed. This was a government operation. Right. And, you know, I mean, come on. Come on.
Well, he probably also thinks that the government blew up the World Trade Center. This guy is completely off his rocker. He was the one that started the whole thing with Walmarts being re-education centers.
Right. Right. And not one person has been re-educated in a Walmart. And if you don't believe me, go to a Walmart and see what kind of people are in there. I mean, you know, I mean, it just is what it is. So
he's dangerous. He's very dangerous.
You know, we got one verdict that was spot on. That was the Alex Jones verdict. And we got one sentencing verdict that was completely off kilter. And that was the Nicholas Cruz deal. So,
yes, absolutely. You know.
Well, look, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, and we can't let this go because this is of the utmost importance, what's going on in New Zealand right now. Apparently, the green energy greenie weenies have taken root in New Zealand, the fine country of New Zealand, home of the hobbits, by the way. And yes, they have all come to the conclusion that the weather is controlled by burping and peeing cows.
Yes. And they are going to heavily tax the farmers for their burping and peeing cows because they need to address the greenhouse gases that the cow burps, especially the burps, you know, affect the climate.
Now, apparently, according to New Zealand, the burps are worse than the farts. Now, I always thought it was cows' farts that were causing the world to burn to a crisp.
Well, That's what we say. You know, the loons here say.
Yeah. Well, okay. So over there, it's burping and peeing that's causing the problem. Now,
right.
I've got some specific thoughts on this. I live in cattle country, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to levy the tax? Now, let's say that both Diane and I have a cattle ranch in New Zealand. And let's say we both have 100 head of cattle. Okay, and let's say we have the exact same breed of cattle. But for whatever reason, the grass on my ranch is less belch-worthy than the grass on Diane's ranch. Now, how are they going to determine whether or not my cows are burping as much as Diane's cows? Because I'm assuming they're going to tax you by the head. Okay, so if you've got 100 head of cattle, you're going to pay X dollars in belch tax or fart tax or pee tax, you know, whatever the case might be. But if my cows don't belch as much as Diane's cows, why am I having to pay the same amount?
Well, you have to understand something, Craig. They're looking at this also as a way to create jobs because they're going to have people going around every day putting collector masks on all these cows so they can gather up the gases.
Now, okay. Now, here's another question I have. Okay, so they're going to tax the bejesus out of these farmers, dairy farmers, cattle ranchers, sheep ranchers, because apparently the sheep belch too.
Right.
They're going to tax the bejesus out of these people based on green energy. How does the tax keep the cows from belching?
A cork. They'll put a cork in them.
But the cows can't have a cork in their mouth. They belch out their mouth. They have to eat.
Well, they'll at least cork up the other end.
This is
one of the stupidest things I have ever seen. This is beyond stupidity. First of all, this is the weather. You can't control the weather. You want to control the weather? Talk to the sun about not producing so many sunspots, okay? This is naturally occurring weather patterns. Our weather is caused by certain things. Some of it is the sun. A big part of it is the sun. You got a problem, you know, get your head into the science of this and stop listening to the politicalization of this.
But Diane, if you throw enough tax money at the weather, you can change the weather. That's what they're telling us.
No, that's absolutely 100% not true. Nothing is going to change the weather. Nothing anyone does is going to change the weather.
Now,
that's scientific fact.
Okay, here's my next question.
Yeah.
If the cows and the sheep are belching and peeing, and mm-hmm. that's causing the weather to change, haven't animals since the beginning of time been belching and peeing?
Absolutely.
Okay, now absolutely. Would it be fair to say that dinosaurs, given their size, belched more or bigger than cows?
Absolutely. In fact, every animal, including the human animal, belches in the other way.
Okay, so why is it now, all of a sudden, cow belches and cows peeing? Because I assume all animals pee.
You would have to, sure. They would have to.
Well, if they don't, they're pretty cranky.
Very cranky and in a lot of pain.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying. So why is it all of a sudden that belching and peeing is a big problem when it's been going on since animals were invented?
It's a big problem because the liberal loons have made it a problem. This is a manufactured problem to meet an agenda. That's all it is.
Okay. So it doesn't really have anything to do with cows belching and peeing?
No, I don't think it does at all.
Okay. I mean, there's so much about this that just doesn't make any sense, and I don't know how they're going to assess the tax on this. I mean, we've got 87,000 new IRS agents. Are they doing that over there? So they, I mean, you know, belch agents? What are they doing?
Oh, yeah. By the way, if we could take back the House and the Senate, those 87,000 agents, they're gone.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, they haven't, New Zealand has yet to say how the pricing is going to go for this tax. So all these farmers and all these ranchers, they have no idea what they're in for.
No, they really have no idea. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse because they want to cut the methane emissions by the year 2030.
Yeah. Okay. Again,
I mean,
how is taxing the belching and the peeing going to cut carbon emissions? How is it? Okay, then why are they doing it?
Because they're liberal loons.
Well, okay. You know, okay, I mean,
this
I just...
is a way. No, Craig, what this is a money-gathering operation. It's a way to push forward the climate change nonsense. It's a matter of control. This is more control.
Now, the agriculture minister over there, because they have a minister in charge of this, he right. said taxing the belches and the peeing is an exciting opportunity for the country and its farmers. It's an exciting opportunity. For what?
For what? Exactly.
For what?
Exactly. I mean, they spent a whole bunch of money, guys. I mean, we are talking millions and millions of dollars to find out that most of the methane emissions comes from burping and not farting.
Right. Now, here's one last thing.
What? How much money, how many millions and millions just got thrown down the drain?
Well, got pissed away? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got one last question. I got one last question that needs to be asked here.
Okay.
Okay, in the minute and a half we got left on the show. Now, according to this Minister of Agriculture, his last name is O'Connor, he says, farmers are already experiencing the broad impact of climate change with more regular drought and flooding. Mr. O'Connor, which the hell is it, the drought or the flooding? Because Craig, if you have more drought, you would have less flooding. But if you have more flooding, that means you have less drought. So you can't have more regular drought and flooding.
No, you can't. But as you can see by what you just said, this meets the agenda. They will manipulate words. They will play on words. They will superimpose words over other words. They will do everything with these words except tell the truth that we're, you know, in this for the money and we're in it for control.
It's the dumbest damn thing I've heard in a long time. They're going to tax in New Zealand belching and peeing of cattle and livestock.
But you know what the worst part is, Craig? When, you know, Biden and crew get a hold of this, expect it here.
I'll tell you what. If we tax Congress for belching and farting, we'll never have to tax the American people again. That's all I'm saying. But, Diane, we're out of time.
Okay. With that, guys, have a great weekend. See you on Tuesday and nighty night.
Have a great weekend, folks. Take care of yourselves and go Big Red, beat Purdue. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.